So the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic really did expose some concerning gaps in the long-term care sector right across the country. We saw in parts of Ontario and Quebec the neglect that occurred there of seniors. It was largely occurring in privately run facilities. Now, that isn't everyone's experience, though. I sat down with Jen Dion, who has two parents living in private care and a mother-in-law who was a resident in public care. She tells me about how she and her family were able to navigate the pandemic.
At Tiffany Village, I would like to point out that they had excellent protocols in place immediately for dropping off items, for communicating with residents. Those residents who didn't have access to the internet were able to book. They would bring an iPad to their room and do visits with family. They had window visits in place. But most importantly, they really looked after their social and mental well-being in finding ways to safely continue activities within the home. So they still had movie nights, for instance. It was just socially distanced. They still had activities. You had to pre-book because they would only take two or three people at a time. They still had dining, but it was split into two times. So there were less people moving through the building and going into the dining room. So I really was very pleased. And even when we did have concerns or questions about how things were going, it's really great that at Tiffany, the care team there is available by email, which is such a simple thing to say, but the contrast at St. Patrick's is so dramatic, it's worth pointing out that communication with family members is a huge thing.
And early on in the pandemic, you did notice that contrast happening at St. Pat's, so you made moves and you transport your mother-in-law from St. Pat's.
Not every family is able to do it. And to be fair, St. Patrick's is, as I mentioned in my Facebook post, St. Patrick's is all level 3 and 4 care. But what was happening with my mother-in-law was when the isolation happened, they lost all of their volunteers and their family members. And it became quickly apparent how much our publicly funded long-term care depends on unpaid outsiders because of already chronic understaffing. So the staff at St. Patrick's, who to each one wonderful, caring professionals, but quickly found themselves overwhelmed. My mother-in-law, group meals were discontinued. Group activities were discontinued. The staff was quickly overwhelmed to the point where basically residents had to stay in their room all day. Those are shared rooms, of course. I know that there is a difference between the money that goes into public and private care. I have some experience in that area, in fact. But, I'm telling you, there's a real problem systemically that was suddenly and alarmingly illuminated by this pandemic. Our homes are not structured to care for residents, even beyond their, like, to the bare minimum of their physical health, but when it comes to their mental and their social and their spiritual health, we are falling far short and to the point that it is not acceptable. So yes, within a few weeks, we made the decision as a family to move my mom-in-law home. And I know not every family can do that. We were lucky that we were all home during the pandemic. We could all chip in with her care. Now we have some home care that's helping us out, to the point where we just hope she'll never, ever have to go back to a publicly funded long-term care facility.
What types of actions or changes can government take? And do you think it's federal or is it provincial?
I think, first of all, provincially, we can be looking at how, I mean, people are going to say, oh, there's not that much money, you know, like, oh, we're doing the best we can. You know what? I know for a fact that we're not. I know that there's a better allocation of resources. There are better ways of structuring our homes. Our homes are old, outdated. They're like hospital rooms. That's not how someone wants to live. That's a condition for decline and death, not to live a life that has happiness and fulfillment in it. And there are other models of care that we have seen around the world that do not take more money. They take more creative thinking. Yes, there may need to be an initial investment of money to restructure our facilities, to look at our allocations of staffing and how that goes about. But I know that there are solutions that are being ignored because of the task that is before us. But I think we can't ignore that anymore. I had to speak out about our experience because I know our province is facing a lot, but come on, this is our parents. This is us. This is something that we cannot turn away from. Otherwise, well, we're seeing what happens